welcome back to Pastors Roundtable. Though it is a little bit different this time, instead of having all of the pastors in one room around one table, in this moment in time, that seemed like it was probably pushing our luck a little bit. So instead, we have each of the pastors kind of calling in to this, and we'll have all of them be put back to back for your listening. But our first one, of course, is Dr. Thomas. Dr. Thomas, again, thank you for being on the phone with us.
Thank you, Josh. Can you pass me that cup of coffee?
Yeah. No, it'll be there in 30 minutes and have the intern take it to you. Okay, so I'm just wondering, what is a way in which this time, with the coronavirus and the quarantines and all that, how has it created a challenge for you in ministry?
Well, because it's so counterintuitive. You know, Christians come together, they share, they fellowship, they bond, they talk, they pray together. And now we're all separate. So overcoming that, even overcoming that virtually, you know, is a massive problem. We're probably ahead of the curve of most churches that aren't as equipped as ours, but still, it's still a challenge for us. And one of the areas for me that's been most challenging is that we need to be praying as a church. We need to gather together to pray for our world and for our country and for our church family and for this crisis to end. There are folks hurting. There are members of our church now who are perhaps testing positive. As each day goes by, we hear more people being tested. We certainly have family members of our members who have tested positive. We have folk whose surgeries have been delayed. We have folk who are worrying about their businesses and bankruptcies and laying off workers and unemployment. And we've got folk worrying about their retirement funds and a thousand other things. Mm. And so we are, as we speak, attempting a beta version of a virtual prayer group of 15 people led by one of our elders. And we're going to test that tomorrow. And if that works, we're going to take that to the entire congregation. The problem is that some people are very tech savvy and others are a little more challenged and have equipment that is perhaps a little old, and they don't know what an app is, and they don't know how to download Zoom, you know, and so the struggle is real, as they say.
Right.
But I have been so impressed just with all of our staff and just how things keep going. And I just want to give a huge shout out to our staff and kudos to all of you for what you're doing and just how quickly you got into it. And our church, I'm constantly getting emails and text messages thanking me when actually what they're thanking is, and who they're thanking, are the team that is First Pres staff. And so thank you for what you're doing.
Absolutely.
These are extraordinary days, Josh.
Yeah, I mean, I've certainly not seen anything like this before. I'm only 6 years into ministry, not including my intern time at First Jackson. So, but a number of ministers, I think yourself included, not having seen anything like this before, and just day by day, things change so much. So we think we have our feet underneath us and how we're going to respond. And then we find out that we really shouldn't have more than five people in a room. And so we have to change how we do things. And then not more than three people in a room. And some people beginning to hear that they may know someone who's infected. And so they may need to stay home. And so it's just day by day, everybody pitching in. And really, I mean, the whole staff deserves a big pat on the back for what they've done. Worked very long hours, Our intern crew, Nate Seske, Liz, David, all of our admins, all the ministers. I mean, really, just as a staff working so hard, Emily and everyone. Hannah Lampman, even her husband, offering to help us out with virtual education stuff. It's really been amazing to watch everybody rally around and try to meet this time as best we can. Now, one of the things I was hoping was that each minister might lead us in prayer. We had, I think it was a text, it may have been an email from our pastor's roundtable last week, and they said that they wanted to hear us pray. And so I thought, oh, that's a wonderful idea. So I'm just wondering, Derek, would you mind just leading us in prayer over some of these issues that you brought up?
Sure, I'd be delighted. Heavenly Father, you are in control, and we don't want to lose sight of that. When the ground gives way beneath us, we thank you that you are our rock and we shall not be moved. Help us right now to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We pray for our dear church family. We miss seeing them and fellowshipping with them. And some of them are passing through trials right now. Some are waiting on test results for this virus. Some have had their surgeries postponed. Some are concerned about their businesses going under. Some have lost their jobs. Thank you for our dear elders who have decided to pay our hourly workers in this calamity. Father, we pray for those in government who are making really tough decisions, that you would guide and direct them. Grant us as a nation are coming together in this season. Rebuke those who use these difficult times for partisan purposes. Above all, use these days for gospel ends. Help us to stay strong and faithful through these times. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Derek. Well, joining me now is our pastor of Congregational Care, David Lawton. David, thank you so much for being with me.
Absolutely.
I've been asking all the pastors this, and so I thought I would throw it out to you as well. And just want to know, how has this moment in time with all the unique challenges of coronavirus really affected you and your ministry?
Josh, that is a great question. Life is very different for us as the Lord's people in our church today from where it was a couple of weeks ago. So a lot of things are different. I think for me personally, and I think I can speak for our church family as well, I really miss the friendship, the relationship, the ability to have face-to-face conversation, and digital is helpful, but I'm just kind of wired, and I know our congregation is wired to be together as the Lord's people, to enjoy the gift of the unity we have in our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so one of the challenges is I'm making phone calls and emails and texting, which is great, but I miss that time going to visit someone, going to pray with them in person. So it's a big change. It's not a big change only for me, but for us all. I know for our church family, so many have said how much they are grateful for the services being online, but they miss being able to see one another's faces and just be and share together.
Yeah, there's something so sweet about just being able to see one another on the church grounds, even if it's just a smile and a nod and a wave. There's a connection there that all of us, I think, are really missing.
Absolutely. And I know when I've had a few interactions through digital media, it's so wonderful just to see a few faces of people online. And I think it'll make us all the more long for that day when we will be able to gather back together. And in my own mind and heart, it makes me think about the longing for glory and for heaven, where we will all be with one another and with our Savior for all eternity. And worship, as wonderful as it is here, will even be so much more glorious there.
Amen to that. You know, as you were talking, I was thinking, how wonderful will it be that first time we're able to worship together and we get to stand in line and shake people's hands? It's such a small thing that, you know, I've taken for granted for 5 years, and I'm really looking forward to that now.
I am as well, Josh. It's an incredible thing, the small things that I've probably taken somewhat for granted. And the little interactions that we have one with another that we're just not able to enjoy and take in for the present.
So you mentioned earlier that in order to try and compensate for this new place, we're doing things like Zoom meetings and texting and phone calls. What are some things that you might be able to suggest, especially to our congregation, as they try to stay in connection with each other?
Absolutely. There are a number of things that a number of us are involved in as ministers, pastors, and staff, but even our members in keeping up one with another. I know there's been a flurry of emails and texts, other social media as appropriate, and phone calls. The old-fashioned telephone is so helpful to just hear a voice and to listen and to be able to speak words of greeting and of prayer and of the Lord's love and blessing. But in that we're not able to be together, I've had a number of visits even with members over Zoom. They want to talk about an issue in their life. I know as a counselor, you're involved in the same kind of thing.
That's exactly
what
right.
What a wonderful time to have the technology that we have for this virus in such a day as ours today, where we can enjoy being with each other, though separate places, through digital communication.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking just the other day in one of Derek's daily devotions, he mentioned that in 1918, there were two separate months, one for spiral meningitis and once for flu, that the church had to shutter its doors. And I wondered back then, like, what was it like for our congregation in 1918 and how wonderful it is for us to be in this place where we can do exactly what we're doing right now, having these sort of digital communications and we can record them and we can put them out for our people so they can hear our voices and know what we're doing and how active we are. And there really are a ton of ways that people can stay connected even as they make sure that they obey the social isolation practices, which is we're all for, but still stay connected and let each other know that they love each other.
Absolutely. It's incredible as we think about the Lord's faithfulness to us as a church. When that flu came through, the Spanish flu in 1918, and even today, to know that He is a good and faithful Savior and He will bring us through.
Amen. So, David, I was wondering if you might be able to lead us in prayer over some of these issues.
Absolutely. Let's go to our Lord's gracious and loving throne of grace. Our Father and our God, we rejoice in you this day. We know that you are our rock and our fortress, and that you are a very present help in the midst of trouble. We confess and acknowledge that we live in a time of trouble, of a great need for you and great difficulty. And we, first of all, pray that you would be with those who are suffering, who are dealing with the difficulties associated with this virus. We pray that you might sustain and help your people, that you will deepen our love for you and one another, that this virus will not be for waste in our lives, that we might grow in our love for you. Thank you, Lord, for the technology that we have in our day whereby we can communicate with one another. And even the use of the telephone to express words of love and greeting and letter writing. Commit ourselves to you. Thank you for one another. And look to you, our God and Savior, to be with us and help us. Pray all of this in the name of our Savior Jesus and for his praise, honor, and glory. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, David.
Absolutely. Thank you, Josh.
All right. Joining us on the phone via Zoom is my dear brother, Gabe Fleur. Gabe, thank you so much for taking time to be with me today.
Thanks so much, Josh. It's good to, quote unquote, see you here, brother.
Yeah, no kidding. Social distancing and all that. So in this very odd time in ministry, just wondering if you can give us a sense of some of the challenges, especially as the minister of discipleship that you've seen over the past few weeks.
Well, one of the things that I wrote to our Sunday school class, the Gateway class, was that the past few weeks, I think, have shown all of us the importance and really the indispensability of face-to-face relationships, where we want to be around each other. And as we know, God made us to do that. It's not good that man was alone. So we see that in our own experience now, I think, in a way that many of us probably, at least I know I didn't, appreciate until a few weeks ago. So the biggest challenge for us now and for our what we're doing in ministry is just not having that ability to be together face-to-face in person. Now, so thankful for the technologies that allow us to do like what we're doing right now, but there's an element there that always feels like something's missing when you're just looking at a screen. And maybe I thought to myself and prayed for this, maybe out of all of this, whenever the Lord chooses to stop this, and when God willing it's contained very soon, one of the things that I think we'll have learned, or at least that I've learned already, is that screens aren't nearly as important as I thought they were. I'd rather just see people face to face. So that's been a big challenge. And then I think, like a lot of parents out there listening, we're trying to manage the realities of being thrust into being overnight homeschool parents.
Yes.
So for those of you who are old hat at that and veterans, I really think I know that for certain now that the 144,000 in Revelation are all homeschool parents, the elect in heaven. So so we're struggling with that as well, but God's been faithful. And just trying to lean every day a little bit more on Christ and learn more about his grace and the fellowship of suffering.
Yeah, you know, this time it's reminded me somewhat of some of the missionaries that we've known that have gone overseas and disconnected from their church communities where they had really good fellowship. And the idea was always like, oh, well, but there are electronic means. There's FaceTime and there's Zoom and there's all kinds of ways you can still stay connected. But the truth is, and I think I have a heart more now for it than I did before this, there's nothing that beats face-to-face actual community. And so I really have a stronger heart for our missionaries as they go on the field and as they find themselves often socially isolated for a large period of time as they start their work.
I think that's great, man. And my great-grandparents were missionaries in Korea. Mm. And by God's grace, I've still got many of their letters and correspondence from the late 19th and early 20th centuries when they were over there. And one of the things you see is that exact description of what you just gave us, which is, I feel like we feel like we're disconnected from everybody and how they had to bear with that. And I think that's such a great thought right now, Josh, about missionaries and, wow, entering into new realities, whether it's homeschool parenting or what our missionaries go through.
Right. Just trying to redeem some of this experience to help us,
yeah,
as we try and think about how we can be more Christ-like to our people. Okay, so as you find this challenge, especially the lack of face-to-face time, how do you think we as a church can be responding to that challenge?
Well, I think I see so much evidence of this, and I'm sure you do too, of how people already are responding. I was on the phone yesterday with a number of folks who said, hey, what can I do to help? Had a couple of those calls this morning. I think our church family desires to love one another well. I think we need to use every available means to connect, which is whether it's Zoom or FaceTime or texting or phone calls or writing letters, whatever it is. We need to do that. And I think that we have to have that desire to find out who needs help and help out our neighbors as well. I think that's a big thing too, is for us to have the opportunity, at least in our neighborhood, to get to know a lot of people that we really haven't had the opportunity to before. So I think that's one thing our church can do to help the kingdom cause through all this is just be good neighbors. And I'm learning how to do that myself.
Right. We now find ourselves as a congregation of 2,000 shut-ins.
Yes.
Right. So
yes.
How do you do ministry to 2,000 shut-ins, you know?
Yeah, that's a great point.
Gabe, would you mind leading us in prayer just on a couple of these issues?
Sure. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for this congregation. Thank you for First Presbyterian Church. And Lord, we do pray right now that you would stay your hand on this virus, Lord, that you would bring it to a swift conclusion. And even as you do that, Lord, to bring about great revival, we pray that there would be a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon this land, that we would once again see how weak and helpless we are and how mighty and sovereign you are, that you would, Lord, help people who may be struggling financially or with lost jobs or with anxiety or fear or stress. Please help all of them, Lord. Please help us to pay attention to the needs of those around us. Lord, in a time like this, it's so easy to be focused on just getting through each day. So please lift our eyes from just our horizons to see what's all around us. Most of all, lift them above all our human horizons to see him who rules the world and is the exact image of you, even Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has been raised from the dead and who reigns forever. We love him and we pray in his name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Gabe.
Thank you, Josh. Great to see you, brother.
You too. Well, I am joined here now by our minister to our seniors, Brian Bolt. Brian, thank you for joining me.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Josh.
Okay, so I'm just wondering, how has the current situation with the coronavirus and all of this really affected your ministry?
Thank you for the question, Josh. So much of my job under normal circumstances is visiting and talking with people and praying with people and making personal touches in their lives. Spend a lot of time going to hospitals and visiting people and trying to reassure people by personal touch that when they're scared or vulnerable, and going to retirement centers and rehab centers to spend time with people when they're at their weakest. And now that we're under quarantine and having to practice social distance, of course, I'm strongly urged not to do that. Pretty much all the hospitals around have no visit policies, and that really seems like the way forward out of this crisis. So I find myself not being able to carry out an important part of my job right now. Of course, I can still reach out and make contacts, but I have to think of different ways to do that. So normally I make a lot of phone calls during a usual week, but I find myself doing a lot more of that than usual. And we have to do that and also be creative about other different ways to minister to our seniors. I think another challenge that we face is just the general increase in anxiety, not knowing quite how this is all going to turn out. And the desire that we all have, I think, to want to control what's inherently uncontrollable. And it's a reminder that we really don't control much of anything in our lives, but that God does and is sovereign. So this time has been a good reminder to trust in him. And I have to keep reminding myself, I'm sure you do too, Josh.
Amen.
We've all been so busy that this is going to be a marathon rather than a sprint. We don't know how long it's going to last, but we have to just keep making steady progress.
Yeah, speaking of steady progress, so really those two challenges, one is visiting and staying connected to our people, and the second is addressing maybe the level of anxiety out there. How is it that we can respond well to those two challenges, and maybe how can even congregation members respond well to those two challenges?
Well, we've been, of course, finding different ways to meet and to talk together as teams and as ministers and as a staff, in the Zoom meetings, using that technology, practicing appropriate social distance, and still speaking into each other's lives and ministries has been incredibly helpful and reassuring. And it's been a good time to coordinate and communicate with each other and making sure that we all have a sense of what each other is doing. That's been incredibly encouraging. And knowing that we have a great willing pool of volunteers has been so refreshing and a great encouragement. People who are willing to run errands or take groceries or help with practical needs of seniors has been wonderfully reassuring. The body of Christ coming together at a time of crisis is just incredibly good to see as a pastor. And we've of course developed a Google form with list of our seniors, particularly those who communicate mostly via phone, and it keeps track for us about who has received a recent contact, who hasn't, so we can make sure that everyone's getting checked on regularly, and that no one falls through the cracks. And our interns are going to join Pastor Lawton and myself as we daily reach out to our seniors and talk to them and reassure them that we're here to help. So it's been great to see sort of Ephesians 4 body of Christ coming together at a time of crisis, a time of need, to find new ways of ministering to people and especially to our vulnerable seniors. And it's been a great encouragement.
Amen to that. And it's been great to see and just watch you and David as you guys respond to this very challenging time. I mean, as you mentioned, a large portion of how we stayed connected to our seniors was relational, being around them one-on-one, seeing them even here on the church grounds as we had our Wednesdays and Sundays and Sunday schools, and all of that's really been taken. And in a matter of 2 weeks, you guys have responded admirably. So kudos to you guys and well done. And kudos to our interns who are helping and jumping in on that as well. If there is somebody who's listening to this and would like a touch and just hasn't received a phone call or a letter or something like that, maybe not even a congregant, maybe it's a neighbor or someone's been forwarded this podcast, how might they get on that list?
That's a great question, Josh. Probably the best way is to call the emergency phone.
The phone number is 803-513-7931. That number again is 803-513-7931.
And if they are comfortable with the kind of technology that we have and the virtual options, there are great links to click on to connect with folks who can put them on those lists of volunteers and also let people know about what needs they have and how we can respond to them.
That's great. Okay, Brian, I was wondering if you wouldn't mind praying for us just over a couple of these items and wherever the Lord might lead.
I'd be happy to. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Let's pray. Gracious Father, during this time of uncertainty, we are even more mindful of your providential control over every circumstance, that nothing surprises you, that you know the end from the beginning. It is when we reach limits to our own knowledge and our own wisdom and our own strength and our own endurance that we are reminded of how truly great and awesome you are in your being and wisdom and power and holiness and all the various aspects of your character. So we praise you and we worship you as the one who has us in your hands, the one who works all things out for good for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. I pray that you would use this time of sickness, the time of uncertainty, this time of quarantine, providentially in each of our lives to bring forth your honor and glory and to bring forth what's best for us and perhaps humble us and move us to greater dependence upon you. Thank you so much for our dedicated staff. Thank you for my fellow ministers. Thank you for the large group of volunteers who has already stepped forward and said, I can help. Please let me know what I can do. It is a beauty and a joy to see your body at work. Dear Lord, I pray that you would continue to use us to minister one to another in ways that maybe we didn't think possible a month or so ago. We know that you will be glorified through all of this. We do ask your care and your protection upon our congregation. We particularly pray for our seniors who are most vulnerable to this disease, that you would have your hand of protection upon them. And we know also that sickness is no obstacle for you. You are the God who comes with healing in his wings. And so we pray that you would bring about healing and restoration for those who are sick and those who may encounter the coronavirus in the days to come. We pray that you would continue to use us to glorify yourself during this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Josh.